invite you to Luke chapter 18 tonight as we consider this chapter under the theme, The Teaching of Jesus Increases Faith. You might even be able to entitle it, just based on our study last week from Luke 17:5, this could also be Lord Increase Our Faith Continued or Lord Increase Our Faith Part 2. Because of the questions, or not a question, but the statement or the request that the apostles made to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And it is the case that in all that Jesus taught in his public ministry, he increased the faith of those who would hear him. And I would like for us to tag along tonight with Jesus and his apostles, and hopefully allow him to increase our faith in a number of key areas. Through parables and personal interactions, Jesus taught these men to their benefit and to their betterment. So it stands to reason that if we will listen as well, then we would receive the same benefit. So I hope you have a Bible. I hope you are open to Luke 18, and you will look at this with me. You could divide this text into five parts, and so we won't be able to spend a lot of time talking about the different sections, but I want us to at least see the point of each of these sections, each of these teaching opportunities, and make the general observation, and hopefully you can go back and look at this more in depth on your own. In verses 1 through 8, we might entitle this section, Increase Your Faith by Praying and Not Losing Heart. Watch what happens here. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? And then verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? All right, let's notice a few things here. Again, increase your faith is the idea here by praying and not losing heart in that process. The use of the word ought indicates here that this is not always the case. That there are those, even maybe among us, and probably all of us from time to time, who do pray, but we lose heart in the persistence of our prayers. And so Jesus uses a parable here about a lady who needed someone to avenge her from her adversary. She seeks out a judge who doesn't regard God at all, so there's no real moral compass that drives him to do what is right for the lady, and he doesn't even regard men. He doesn't really seemingly care whether you get what you deserve or not. He seems kind of apathetic in his work in this parable, but this illustration is used to demonstrate a point. And then she goes to him continually, and his thought is, I'm going to avenge her. I'm going to appease her request, lest she continue to weary me in this regard. The parable demonstrates then the power of persistence. The subject here is prayer. And so it is a lesson about persistence in prayer. And Jesus asked, do you hear what he says? Now think about God. This is an argument. You see this a lot in prophecy. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater. where maybe a prophecy will have a lesser fulfillment, but there's a greater fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The same type of work is going on in this parable, where there's the lesser, this judge who neither regards God nor man, and then the greater. How does God respond to our persistence? And Jesus tells us here in the text, God will avenge speedily those who call on him in their persistence. The challenge for you and me is to be persistent in our prayers. I liken this to the kid at the grocery store with the parent. And they get to the checkout line, and that company has used all the strategies available to them to position all the goodies right there at the checkout line. And the kid starts as soon as you enter that checkout line. Mama, Daddy, I want this. I want this. And you're like, no. And they're like, but please, please, I really want this. And sometimes they win that because of their persistence. Well, we're not talking about candy and cheap toys here with God, but there is an element of persistence that is to be present in our prayers. In effect, how important is it to you? The thing that you are praying for, maybe the struggle that you are facing in life, and you're looking for a certain outcome, or you want God's help in this regard, your persistence in your petitions is proportionate to the seriousness of that matter. If I say something about it once or twice and then, you know, I just leave it, then it's probably not that important to me. This woman wearied the judge in this parable, and that is used by Jesus to demonstrate just how powerful our persistence is. I've used this before, and just if you've heard it, I'm sorry. But I don't know a whole lot about my dad's early life, and especially his younger years. But I know one story from that period of time in his life that has really stuck with me. And he said he went to this place for a job on one occasion, and the man just told him, I don't have any work. And so my dad said, okay, and the next day he went back. And the man said, I don't have any work. A couple of days later, he goes back to the same place, and the man said, weren't you here earlier this week? And he said, yes, I was. He said, I told you no, right? And my dad said, yes. And he said, if I tell you no today, are you coming back tomorrow? And my dad said, probably so. And he said, well, just come back ready to work tomorrow. And he got the job through his persistence. This is not me saying this. This is Jesus using this parable to demonstrate the power of persistence. We have an ear with God, but it's not a lackadaisical, haphazard, whimsical situation where we just throw something at him. Are we serious about it? Are we persistent in our request to him? Or do we lose heart and we give up and maybe think, well, it's impossible. Maybe this is not what God wants. Or are we persistent? Jesus says we should be persistent and not lose heart. And then he closes that section in the latter part of verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I wonder what it will be like when the Lord returns. What will be the condition of the church? Will he find Christians who are being persistent in their appeal for those to reach the gospel with, or for the strength and the well-being of the church? What will he find? Will he find persistence? That's up to you and me to determine as we seek to increase our faith. Now look at the second section, verses 9 through 17. We could label this section, faith is increased when we stop trusting in ourselves. Read along with me. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself or with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then they also brought infants to him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. Okay, faith is increased when we stop trusting in ourselves. I like to put it this way. The path to puffed upness, maybe that's a new word, but it's a good one here. The path to puffed upness begins with a deflated view of other people. In other words, the only way that I stick my chest out and act like I am something is by looking around at other people and assuming of them that they are nothing. I step on some to elevate myself, just like this man did. I'm glad I'm not like him. Look how great I am. Well, he had to diminish that man in order to make himself look great. And Jesus says, faith is increased when you stop doing that, when you stop trusting in yourselves and despising others. This is a parable, right? So it's not a true actual historical event, but parables portray things that could happen as they could happen. So think about this man in real life. You wonder how many people he had to wait to come into the temple and leave before he found one that was suitable for deflating so that he could elevate himself. We're not to be like that. We're not to compare ourselves among ourselves and by ourselves. We should compare ourselves to the standard that Christ has given for us. You know, the irony in this illustration is that this man prided himself for having clean hands when in reality what he had was empty hands. He wasn't doing anything but elevating himself and not realizing how much work he needed to do in increasing his own faith. Our faith is increased, brethren, when we stop trusting in ourselves and despising or looking down on other people. Trust God and let him work on you and to fill the voids and the deficiencies. Don't try to fill them by turning other people into something less than you to make yourself feel good about yourself. The third point, or the third section of this increase our faith passage, is found in verses 18 through 30. A little bit longer reading here, but let's read it. Let's walk along with Jesus and the apostles and learn from his teaching, and then we'll make some observations from these verses. Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, All these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, Who then can be saved? But he said, These things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. And he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom who should not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. I would entitle this section, we must recognize what inhibits the increase of our faith. Now, we naturally will go so far, and that will vary among us how far we go in the development of our faith. But eventually, we get to a point where something inhibits us from taking the next step or going further or growing. And you just see that play out in congregations. You'll see people who become Christians, and they'll take off and they'll go, you know, really fast, diligently to a certain point, but then it'll slow down or maybe even stop. They've hit a wall. There's something there that is inhibiting them. Even for people who go much further, we're likely to get to some things in our lives that will be like a wall to us and keep us from going further. We've noted in talking about Jesus as he interacted with people that he could see much deeper than we could see. This man was rattling off the things that he was doing, and I'm sure he was doing them. But Jesus could see in his heart, and he knew that there was a wall there. There was something that was going to inhibit the increase of his faith, and it had to do with the resources that the man had. You know, people with resources are seldom at a loss for a means to do what they want. If you've got resources, you can do it. I mean, there are people in the world who have all the money you can imagine, and there's nothing stopping them from doing whatever they want materially. I imagine this individual is like that. He's got a lot, and he could do a lot with what he had. But this resourceful man was enlightened by Jesus to see the limit of his resources. You've got all of this, but can you take what you have and sell it and distribute it to the poor? Now, this man was a resourceful man. It seems to be the case. He could have gathered it all back up again through his ingenuity and have been in a place to do it over again. But what happened was he went away sorrowful because of his possessions and the very idea of having to remove that barrier from the increase of his faith. I said the resources of the man was enlightened to see the limit of his resources, but it might be better said his eyes were open to see how his resources were limiting him. Because of these things, he couldn't have faith in God to provide for him. He had always done that for himself, seemingly. But here's a chance to operate by faith, not stop working, not stop making money, not stop having resources, but get to the point where those resources are not a hindrance to your faith. That's the idea. And for us, it may be money. It may not be money. It can be anything that we trust rather than God that holds us back. It could be family. It could be work. Whatever. You have to do in your life what I have to do in my life and recognize if I've hit a wall in my faith development, in the increase of my faith, have I slowed down? Have I made any progress this year from where I was last year? And if not, what might be the thing that is inhibiting me? And the whole point here is to eliminate that from being an obstacle. You might be able to turn it into a resource. But whatever you do, don't allow it to be an obstacle like the man in this illustration. So we must recognize what inhibits the increase of our faith. Number four, verses 31 through 34. Faith is increased by adversity. Then he took his 12 disciples, or 12, the 12 aside, and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Just think about Isaiah 53 as you think about all the things in the prophets that will be fulfilled. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was chastised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. In other words, we're going up to Jerusalem, and when we get there, eventually, the Son of Man, the Son of God, is going to be persecuted. He's going to be beaten, and ultimately, he's going to be crucified. There's going to be adversity in the days ahead. Verse 32, "For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, who will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again." Now look at verse 34. "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken." Here Jesus is increasing their faith, or at least preparing them for the increase of their faith through adversity. The idea of the saying being hidden from them, that they didn't understand it. This is going to be something that is realized in the midst of the adversity. And it's that way with us. You know, there are things right now that I couldn't possibly understand because I've never experienced it. There are things that you may not understand because you've never experienced it. And the reality of those things may go right over my head. You know, sometimes it's kind of like some of the kid movies. Right, something will be said in the kids' movie that is just hilarious to the adults, but it goes right over the head of the kids. They don't get it at all. They have no experience with which to relate to those things. Life is like that. The death of a loved one, struggling with a serious illness. All kinds of adversity in life that you must experience firsthand in order for it to be something that increases your faith. And Jesus is preparing them for that, though they are not there as of yet. As adversity comes, and listen, I don't wish it on anyone, but the reality is it comes. And that's the arena in which faith will either increase or will lose heart in those situations. And hopefully those circumstances, if they come and when they come, they will make us better and not make us bitter. That's the goal in increasing our faith. Then the last section, section 5, verses 35 through 43, Jesus teaches to increase our faith, we must overcome obstacles. Look at this one with me. "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat at the road or by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God." Remember, that's always connected with the miracles that were performed in the Bible. They always directed attention back to God. "And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God." All right, let's notice just a few things here. To increase our faith, we must overcome obstacles. Here's a man who was blind. He couldn't see Jesus, but he overcame that obstacle in order to get near Jesus to receive the blessing that he desired from him. What do we do with the obstacles in our lives, whether they're a physical ailment, whatever it might be? There are obstacles that we may have in our life that will either keep us back or will become a challenge for us to overcome in order to increase our faith. Look at what this man did. He could have used his situation as an excuse. He could have pitied himself and said, "Well, Jesus is not interested in me. He didn't do that. He overcame the obstacle. And Jesus commended his faith for having done just that. In the military, the saying is attributed to the Marine Corps, but all the branches use it. Improvise, adapt, and overcome. Your obstacles in life will be different than mine. Mine will be different than yours. The challenge for us is to, by faith, not allow the obstacles to hinder our growth and development. Sometimes people use the obstacles as excuses not to move further down the line in their growth and development as it concerns faith. Here Jesus teaches by healing this man who was on the road somewhere outside of Jericho, who was blind. He couldn't see Jesus, but he heard the commotion. He inquired, and then he went and got what he sought from the one who could provide it. He improvised, he adapted, and he overcame in that situation to receive his sight, to be commended by Jesus for the growth and development of his faith. You know, nothing in this chapter is irrelevant to us. There's nothing in this chapter that's antiquated in any way that we can't apply in our lives, because people are people. We're different in culture, we're different in time, we're different in geography than the people to whom Jesus was speaking specifically, but people are people. And we tend to have the same struggles, the same issues, the same needs as those Jesus addressed in Bible time. And we could all tonight stand to increase our faith in some respect. And maybe the lessons that Jesus has taught us through this chapter can help us do just that. Tonight, as we bring this service to a close, the Lord's invitation is extended. If there's one present who hasn't obeyed the gospel and has that desire, maybe you're on the fence. Maybe you're not really sure about that and you want to study more. We're ready to help you do that. Ready to answer any questions you have. Just know that we would be encouraged to help you in any way that you have a need. Maybe as a child of God here tonight, you have another need that we can assist you with. We're going to sing to encourage all of us. And if you have a need, we hope you'll come as we stand and sing.